Okay, all set?
Yes.
Okay. Your mom and I... Okay, yeah. Mom and I are going... We're going to separate.
You're not going to be leaving either of us.
We're going to have joint custody. Frank, it's okay. I've got an elegant new house across the park.
Across the park? Is that even Brooklyn?
It's only 5 stops on the subway. It's an elegant block, the filet of the neighborhood. We'll have a ping pong table.
I don't play ping pong.
And we'll both see you equally.
How will that work?
We're splitting up the week, alternating days.
Why?
Because I love you and I want to see you as much as your mother does.
But there's 7 days.
Right.
So how will you split evenly with 7 days?
Oh, I've got you Tuesday, Wednesday, and Saturday, and every other Thursday.
Every other?
That's how we each have you equally.
That was your father's idea.
Don't do this.
How will I get to school?
There's a subway 4 blocks from the house. 4 or 5. No more than 6 blocks.
And what about the cat?
Shit. The cat.
We didn't discuss the cat.
Your father will pick him up on those days when you're switching houses.
I'll have to drive here 2 additional times a week.
You got a place on the other side of the park. If you got in a place near here, it wouldn't be a problem.
This neighborhood's gotten very expensive. Joan, it's very painful for me to stay in this neighborhood. You know that. Don't be difficult. I feel banished.
Oh, pickle.
So, Dad, what will happen with the cat?
We'll figure something out.
Podcast. This is Andrew.
This is Damien.
And this is Douglas.
Fuck February.
Blah! February is a Lego movie.
Calling
February
from early.
Good.
No. February is a wrap. It's a wrap for me. I'm out.
Oh man. Forgetting that.
Mm-hmm. Not addressed that at all.
Let's not talk about it at all. So this week, I asked for all of us to watch and talk about the latest Asghar Farhadi film, The Past.
You see? David?
Why?
Tu vis avec quelqu'un?
Tu t'es pas demandé pourquoi je te fais venir pour officialiser le divorce?
Ah, c'est difficile de me retrouver nez à nez avec celui qui va épouser mon ex.
The Past, you don't like the name The Past.
Such a terrible name.
Really?
Andrew, The Past? Think about that title.
The
what
only way.
The Past
so,
tell you about
so,
a movie?
So essentially, the only way they could have made that name worse is if they included not just the past, but the present and the future.
I guess. Alright, think about this. A movie called Time. yeah, that's how I feel about The Past. Kind of big, right?
There was in time.
And you see how well that did.
But there's a... Isn't it called About Time? Is that the...
No. Oh, no.
Yeah, there, that's the one with...
It's About Time.
Yeah, and that's a really good movie.
Yes, it is. Really like that movie. However, we're talking about the past.
Mm-hmm.
Not the present or the future.
The time.
But the past. And this film
the
is...
The previous time.
This film is mainly about this man who comes... Back to France to enact his divorce with his wife,
mm-hmm.
so that she can go on and have a relationship with her now lover, man, whatever you want to call it. And all of the things that are happening at the same time just happen to collide.
By the way, I just have to stop you there. And I just have to let everybody know out there in the world that she's in love with a prophet. And that is fantastic.
Oh, God, the second aside,
oh my goodness.
I lost my mind.
All right, you may now continue.
Yes. The lover is the man.
The prophet.
The main role in Un Prophet.
He's the prophet.
7.9
on IMDb. Fuck his
this. This is number one of those episodes.
Yeah, I think it is. I think it is. Sorry, guys out there. We know we saw
already too late,
but we're fine with it.
Already started listening to this.
And clearly you are too if you're still listening.
You're already going.
So this movie is one of those movies where I think I'm supposed to like it.
Yeah. I think so.
I think it's one of the movies which plays on all of these high drama moments where she has this misunderstanding, he has this misunderstanding, and we see all these amazing acting moments come about from it. But at the same time, I never quite had the connection that I had with this movie that I have with similar movies that I love more. But is it wrong that I look at it and I'm like, we could pull out the list. I'm like, all of these pieces on the list are there, so I should like it, right?
Right.
I still haven't seen the guy's other movie, A Separation, mm-hmm. which I was hoping to watch this weekend, but didn't quite get around to. But I really don't know what to talk about this movie, because I'm 2 days away from watching it, and I just feel that was a movie. I don't know
exactly what you mean, because the way I feel about that movie is strange. I do like the movie, right? But that's because
there's a profit, and I like weird things.
Also, the thing about this movie is that it doesn't strive to kind of entertain you through, I guess, this big push. Or, what a lot of movies do, right, is there's a big event and everything kind of flows from there, whether it is to try and, solve it or see what the aftermath is, that kind of thing. This isn't exactly that. Or it kind of is in a much more roundabout sense, a much more tangential sense, right? There was a big event, and that big event was that this man and this woman separated. Right, which is why, by the way, I love thinking of this, even though I know I haven't watched the first movie, I love thinking of this as a separation part two, simply because there was a separation in the past of
that
this movie. Right? Exactly. And anyway, but so in a way, you have this separation, and then you have now, this is the aftermath. This is what happens after you separate. You must get divorced, and you must move on with your life, which is what this movie is really, this is where the movie starts off. The movie starts off with, listen guys, we have been separated, let's now make it permanent. Let us now divorce in the eyes, exactly, or rather take the ring off it. Yeah? So let's make this right in the eyes of the law and officially end this union. Okay? And I like it because what this movie does is it doesn't try to be showy. It doesn't try to, be superlative. It's just what it is. This guy comes because his ex-wife asks him to. There's clearly issues, but they are being as, or they're trying as hard as they can to be as civil to each other as possible. There is also baggage, because while he never had any children with her, she had 2 children already before their marriage, and he clearly developed a strong relationship with both children. Right, much stronger with the older child, of course, because when you're older, you can actually interact with them rather than clearly
you
when
be a person.
Yeah, clearly when the younger one, when he was together with the wife, the younger one was probably like a toddler or a baby. Mm-hmm. So you're always going to not really. 2 or 4 years later down the line, you're going to be like, oh, you're a human. Sorry, I don't really know you.
The thing about it is that every interaction you see, I end up loving that guy more, Ahmed.
Exactly.
Right? Because he has these great interactions with the children. Mm-hmm. And it seems more and more like, even with the older child, mm-hmm. you see that, like, the way that he interacts with her is something that I kind of strive for when it comes to talking with younger people, which is like, mm-hmm. finding somewhere where not just you're talking to them as a real person, but figuring out so that they talk to you
yeah.
like that, and
yeah.
I don't feel like I need to be like subjugated in front of you or something, because
right.
you are higher up in the rankings of the world. And like you said, that they're being civil. I think it's civil is the right word, but
mm-hmm.
it feels more than that. There are other things in there, but he, when you see him interacting with the soon-to-be ex-wife.
Mm-hmm.
It's
what's her name? Is it Marie?
It is Mar- Marie, yes.
Yeah, okay.
It is Marie. Soon to be ex-wife, that you can sense that both of them are like, okay, we need to do this,
mm-hmm.
right? And we could have that big argument that we want to have, but
yeah.
who really cares at this point?
Exactly.
Like, you live over there in Iran,
mm-hmm.
and I live here in France.
Mm-hmm.
You're just here for this one thing. And sure, you can say hi to the children because they like you.
Yeah, yeah. And what I actually found interesting about this movie was the further it went along, is the more this kind of felt like a life. The more this almost felt, even though, as I said before, they're really just kind of trying to be civil, but the more he was there, the more he felt a part of that family, to the extent that it was almost like they were still married technically, but they were, you know, still together in that weird way that she clearly is together with people. Because you look at her relationship with the prophet, right? And
are we just going to call him
a
prophet?
Oh, yes.
Until he's dead.
Of course.
My children will refer to that man as the prophet.
So her relationship with the prophet is very one-sided, right? And it's not very, at least we don't see it as very loving. And she tries, you see there's certain scenes when she tries to be close to him, you know, something as simple as they were in the car once and he had his hand on the gear shifter and she put her hand on his and was kind of caressing him for a little bit, and he changed gears. He no longer needed his hand to be on the shifter, so he took it up and he put it back on the steering wheel, as if, why would I let it linger, you know? And that just shows that's kind of how our relationships seem to be, especially when, you know, you have a little bit later the daughter saying, and I kind of believe her, that it's clear to her that the only reason that her mother is with this guy is because this guy is just like him, right? And I don't know, I like movies like this where if you don't give me, you know, the showy action, the suspense, the drama all over the place, just hunker down and, like I said last week, go down that rabbit hole. I love it when you do that, right? And this is exactly what they did. They kind of explored every facet of what was happening in that scenario, right? And they got really narrow, right? They were just like, listen, here is what is happening. This is about two people who are getting divorced so that this woman can finally get in this new relationship. And we are going to explore two things. We are going to explore what the hell happened between these two old people, let's say old couple number one, and what is going on between new couple number two, right?
Did it really explore what happened between Ahmed and Marie? Because it felt more like they wanted to stay as far away from what occurred in the past. Even though they would have a couple moments where they're like, you remember how you were back then, the situation, how bad it was?
Yeah.
But they never talk about the situation.
No, I agree. They never, you don't know the details of what happened. But in the way that they interact, in essentially how this family deals with each other, and I consider them a family in my mind, you see not necessarily what happened, but you see them, you see what they were, you can kind of get a feeling for it, right? So I agree, they didn't come out and say, okay, let's have that big argument, let's talk about how you had sex with 10 million women
or whatever it is,
right? But they kind of just showed you, here is this unit and here is how this unit operates, and that in itself was exploration, especially if you have to explore too much is it would have hurt the movie, it would have kind of dumbed down everything that they explored, right? It's kind of akin to being a jack of all trades. If you're a jack of all trades, it means you're the saying goes, you're a master of none, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so what I like about this movie is that it showed you, here is the past, right, with this family unit, and it also showed you, here is, you know, it delved deep into now the details and exactly what was going on with now this new relationship. And that kind of, when you're talking about the past, you know, the past for a lot of us, it happened But you know, maybe you want to try to forget it, or it's so long that sometimes, you know, things in your memory change, and so you don't necessarily know exactly who was right, who was wrong, what happened there, who shot first, was it Harrison Ford? You don't know, right? So that's kind of, I think, for me, that's kind of how this movie approached the past. They were just like, let's not worry about that. Let's just show you who these people are and how they are when they're together, you know? And I don't know. I can't point to anything in particular why this movie is great, because, you know, it's not... It's really just a bunch of talking and a bunch of getting to know what's happening and realizing, oh, this is a fucked up situation. Mm-hmm. But I just really dug it. You know, it just hit me the right way for some reason. Yeah.
So I saw this movie today. On less than...
Yep.
Less than stellar conditions. listening it through... Let's call them sweet.
You saw it on your tablet.
Didn't want to say that.
You were like, I'm at work, I'll watch this.
Even it's sad that even with the best that tablets have to offer, I'm still like, no. And then watching people stare at their phones like, this is terrific. You two are so much children.
But today you got to have their experience.
Yeah, it was less than.
Do you feel sorry for them, or do you hate them more? Which one?
Hate them so much.
Anyways, what do you think of the film?
You realize at some point, filmmakers are going to grow up thinking this is a like an option, like a real option.
And don't let me think about those things.
They're going to start tailoring movies so that they fit better on iPads, and then we're going to have to kill ourselves.
You know, I hate you. Know that's what I hate.
Jesus Christ. Right. This movie is about three adults and three children. The young girl doesn't count, so now it's about three adults and two children. One son who is the devil, and one older daughter, also the devil. And it is the interactions between the three adults and mainly these two children. Mostly focus on the three adults, the prophet's soon to be wife, and the wife's husband, because they're not divorced.
The prophet's soon to be wife, ex-husband,
and then the wife's
ex-husband. Soon to be ex-husband. You have to always use the prophet as the anchor.
People understand. Except you. That's a terrible thing. I don't want you to be aggressive towards me.
Leave me alone. Please don't aggress me. Don't aggress
Dear
me.
Dear God. Don't aggress me. I don't think we're going to explain it. Right. So the movie is... It is one of those movies. It is a movie that only people on this podcast would watch.
Yep.
It is a movie about a... It is a... About a small, very defined story, and it takes place over whatever length of period the director felt in it, and he was confident that the story was enough to take you through. There was no big anything, as Douglas said, and there's two ways to look at it. It is either this small story told well, or it is a poor story told. I fall on small story told well, but that is because of just insane amount of bias. The second the prophet appeared on the screen, I don't care what happens.
Top 5 unprophet films.
Don't care. He is in it. So let us go. And in fairness, nothing happens in this movie. Like, let me be clear.
Yeah.
If you are watching this movie and you expect something to happen, you've come to the wrong movie. Go watch A Separation. Things happen in that. This, everything has already happened. This is just people getting caught up with what the situation was and what the situation is going to be in the future. And all the characters are well acted. and they give you a sense of time and place. You feel like these are real people going through real situations. There is a wife in a coma somewhere, and that felt like they were reaching it,
mm-hmm.
but I felt they dealt with it.
They dealt with it well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It
yeah.
wasn't like it could have been a MacGuffin. Just this thing that they're like, and the wife, like they show up halfway through the movie, and like the wife in the coma, and then they have all sorts of nonsense. But
mm-hmm.
no, you know about it relatively early, and they deal with it. And there's things that the movie feels like a process. He shows up, and these are the steps that we need to take to get to where we need to go, and then the movie ends. And it's okay. It's a okay story. It is. There's nothing great about the movie. You could say the acting is great and whatever, but we don't talk about that anymore because it's a couple. It's a couple. Unless there's one person that is just destroying everything, like Cate Blanchett.
Yeah.
There's no reason. Most people know that. Right? In foreign films. Now I'm not talking American films because holy shit, that is not true. But all the foreign films we see are the good ones.
No, they're not.
Most of them are. We're not watching.
We did watch that movie he made us watch with the bath and the soap and the the amnesia. And then one was a killer and one was an actor.
Yeah, I remember. You don't remember that?
he didn't know what I was talking about
bath,
until I said
soap
that
and
thing.
Until
yeah.
you said killer, I was quite sure.
You made us one with people digging graves for other people, and it was in black and white.
There was a movie
which
he made us
that?
Watch.
Which one is that?
Which was
a
vignette movie,
mm-hmm.
which was a Swedish film, I believe.
I love that movie!
Where the only good thing was,
oh
there was
my goodness.
Moment of a song being
done. That was fantastic.
And that was very early in
it
the
It
was, podcast.
I think, You the Living was
yes,
what
that
it was called. It
so
was
you
so
you
good.
You
but no, but no, you see, I love that movie. And well, then again, you love your movie too.
But no one loves a feeling. Anymore.
No,
but
no.
See, this is how good this movie is. And it took but a second for us to stop talking about it completely.
But anyways,
it's okay. Like, guys, if you've listened to any of our recommendations, well, watch this movie. Right? There's nothing to hate about the movie. I don't think there's anything that you'll glash onto and love forever and
right.
ever. It won't be rah rah, everybody on earth must watch this. But that doesn't mean that you shouldn't give it a watch. It's good enough to watch. You've seen, I can promise you, you've seen shittier movies than this all over the place. So give this a watch. And if there's anything that you kind of sort of like and haven't seen a Separation, find that movie and then you'll come to understand why people love this director and talk about A Separation so much. Because it is, they follow the same process in A Separation. It is, this is the situation that we have now, and we need to get to the point where we've separated. And he takes you through the process, but there's a lot more happening in that movie.
Is it more cultural happening, where we, not knowing that culture, are just interested in finding out more about that?
No, there's things
them?
Right. There's things like that, but he's not making the movie for Westerners.
Mm-hmm.
So there's no time spent on those aspects of the movie.
Okay.
They're not really explained. You either use the context around it to understand or you don't. But it's not integral to the story. And unlike this movie, A Separation moves.
Mm-hmm.
It starts, shit happens, shit gets worse, and it just keeps going and going and going until by the end, you're kind of happy that the movie is done and it has ended how it ended. Because if you do like what me and Douglas do, where we try to find out what happens at the end of the movie, given 15 minutes of the movie, right? I can work out how this is going to go. If you do that, as the movie continues, you just keep moving that line. It
mm-hmm.
doesn't, because the movie keeps giving you more information. Like, alright, I guess that won't happen then, this will happen, this will, and all the way up to the end, until you're like, thank God that happened, because this could have been way, way worse. So yeah, it's good. It's good. I'm not angry that I've watched it, and in fairness, I'll watch it again mostly though because of the bias. I don't want to make it seem like I think there might be something special that I might have missed because I watch it on the worst way I can think of. But
it's your favorite way to watch movies.
Jesus, no. So bad.
It's right below getting to see people's names over them in football matches.
Oh,
Damien, my life will not be complete until I make that a thing.
I'm such a Andrew, please don't. It probably going to happen in Qatar. It's going to happen anywhere,
those idiots don't have enough money.
Do you know what he's talking about?
Well, I missed what he said, so I'm completely out of the loop.
He wants to put the names of the players in football.
Oh, yeah.
So he wants to turn real football into pro ever, where there's like a name and stats running under it. Well, I honestly, if there was a way to take the score, the only thing I'd add to football is whenever they go across the halfway line, if they could CG on the score at the halfway line, and that's the only place you see it. So if they're not at the halfway line, you don't even know what the score is. I don't want anything on the screen, just the football. I'll work out the rest. I know who the players are. I've watched this for years.
I want it to work in real life.
He wants everything.
Just to make you like angry.
Power meters.
Listen, when they pull back the foot, you're going to see the...
Right, you're going to see the meter.
The meter.
All right, back to this movie. This is the third time we've diverted away.
There's two things I want to note.
Right. Just before we kick out.
Profit is in it, one.
Actually, no, that's not true. And it mainly has to do something I already kind of talked about. It was the children.
Mm-hmm.
And it was something that I found interesting. Because there are movies that we watch, and I think more to be specific examples of it, Let the Right One In is one of them, where it's so obvious that the filmmaker is purposefully removing adults from the story and making it about children, that we end up taking it from a children's point of view, and we understand all of those dumb decisions they'll make as children decisions. But I find it really interesting watching this movie to see how well the filmmaker has that child's point of view. And it's not just the fact that we have an older child in there who is kind of a bit more sensible than most children in movies. But it works. And I want to ask you guys if you weren't with me on this, but was I the only one who thought towards the end of the movie Hamid was going to ask to bring Lucy back to Tehran with him to be like, alright, she's not going to work out with this.
Mm-hmm.
She likes me and she hates her father. Would you guys be cool with this?
That would be interesting. I mean, clearly they have that some sort of connection.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know if... I don't know. I could see that happening, I suppose.
I was sitting down there waiting for it to happen.
Mm-hmm.
I just thought, you know, she's not going to... I didn't think what you thought, but now that you bring it up, she'd probably just wait until she's older,
mm-hmm,
and is able to leave her family's house and just go and stay with him. Because she prefers him. That is clear.
He's the most awesome dad.
She...
She goes up in a battle against Fruitvale
Station. She and her mother deserve each other, though. Because that is the thing that I was impressed with. The way that the daughter is... She's the mother.
Mm-hmm.
Like, in so many ways. And you go, yeah, of course you hate her. She's exactly like you. And I appreciate movies that when there are conflicts between men and women, have the decency to show that women aren't saints. Because I've seen a lot of movies.
Women are saints. What are you
saying? You are high shit. There's a lot of movies whenever there is any conflict between men and women, like they'll have women being angry that the men are slobs. Like, that is as far as they'll take it. Yes, yeah, she gets angry all the time, but it is really because of stuff that the guy is doing. They don't show that they're women that are, they're crazy people, right? And they make bad decisions and do dumb shit. And this is why relationships dissolve. The other movie that did that, I think remarkably, was Blue Valentine.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Where you saw it, Ingo?
I was worried you were going to say blue is the warmest color.
Stop. Stop.
Watch that movie.
Love that movie.
Should get on that. Should
pick Criterion that. Is releasing it this
month. Oh, yeah, that's true.
I'll watch it this month.
I'll watch it.
And so I enjoyed that experience, watching both the daughter and the mother kind of be terrible people. They're not the greatest people. And you see with them, like the daughter, she's making dumb decisions because, of course, she doesn't want her mother to get married. And her mother, in all fairness, she has made terrible decisions in the past. And it's transparent to both the daughter and the ex-husband why things are the way they are. And they're just kind of dealing with it. So yeah, the movie is really good in that aspect. There's just nothing extra that I think is special and worth cheerleading. Okay. This movie's at 2. A two is good. It's not great.
So, it seems that, you know, Damon thinks it's average. Andrew thinks it's average-er. Yeah. I kind of like this movie.
It's average
aggress. I'd give this movie a 3. I really like this movie. I mean, actually, I might give it close to a 4. But this is like, no, this is a really good movie. No. Yeah, and it's mainly just because I like movies that go down a rabbit hole, and this one did.
Is there a movie called Rabbit?
Yes, there is. And it is awesome. It stars... Nicole Kidman.
Yeah.
And it's directed by like that movie. John Cameron Mitchell.
So good.
And also, it was the first movie that your favorite young actor starred in, Andrew, called Miles Teller.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Oh, is this guy your favorite?
I don't know
why. I just
why.
Like
him. It's the questions, boy. It's the questions.
This past week, with the upcoming release of the reboot for RoboCop, which Douglas and I saw, and we kind of like.
Yes, we do.
I always wanted a new RoboCop. No, I don't.
I know it's all you wanted, Damon.
For so long, I've waited.
I'm working on the football, Damon.
I can't wait for the Independence Day remake. Just let's just shit all over my channel. Although, in fairness, I'd like to thank them ahead of time for remaking Godzilla. Oh wait, no, they've made one every
ten years
there's a Godzilla movie, so
of
course some other time.
I was curious to ask people what their favorite Paul Verhoeven film was, given that he was such a beloved cult director. I decided to take RoboCop off the table because
You're a bad person.
I'm a bad person. And it wasn't surprising
web address.
That there were not that much variety in the responses. I'm curious to ask you guys, what do you think was the most tallied response?
RoboCop?
RoboCop? No, RoboCop wasn't on the list.
It doesn't
matter. Would it be RoboCop 2?
It was not RoboCop 2.
I know, he didn't. I would actually say Total Recall. I would believe that would be the number one.
It was not. That was number two. Starship Troopers won with 4 votes. Coming from the likes of first showing Andrew Parker, Zombie Vish, and Jay Chrisley. Total Recall came in with 3 votes. with Ryan from the Matinee, NT at NT on Twitter, and Aiden Redman from Cut the Crap Movie Reviews. And there was one vote for Basic Instinct from the movie scene. I don't think I've actually seen the whole of Basic Instinct.
Mm-hmm.
What?
I was a child once.
Not sure. Is that the one where Sharon Stone rapes Michael Douglas?
Yup.
Then I have seen most of it. I don't think I've seen all of it.
It's one of those movies where I would always see it on TV and you'd see the scene.
Correct. I was a child once before the internet gave you unlimited access to pornography, and you had to watch movies to get that.
And he had to...
That time.
I can imagine there'd be certain people who'd go, like, have their mixtapes of the pornographic moments in movies and just go to their TV and be like, I'm waiting for the Basic Instinct scene. Record and stop.
Check.
That's it. And just have, like a tape full, just, like, stuff.
Right. So I saw it as a child and was not interested in the story or anything else. So I should watch it again. I didn't like it then. But it says it is a mystery thriller. / pornography.
All of the pornography. I really like Starship Troopers.
I'm sure you did.
I really like a lot of things when I was a child.
Anyways... for this coming week, with the Winter Olympics starting.
Oh, right. Right, the Winter Olympics.
Cool runnings!
Another reason I don't like the Winter Olympics.
We'll get to that. I'm very curious to ask people, what's their favorite sports movie? Because I love sports movies.
Does Senna count?
Senna count.
Does the FP count?
Does the FP count?
That's I can see an argument made for the FP.
A bad person called okay nut. The FP count, we don't have our competition. Now you're living in my mind. It's not the same as being alive.
Say whatever it is that you want, because you're just like every other fool on the island. You're going nowhere, Sanka, and you're thrilled to death about it. But you see me? You see me? I'm different, because I know exactly where I'm going. And after I, Yul Brynner, win the Olympics and become famous, I'm gonna leave the island and live right down there. What are you laughing about? What are you laughing about?
That's Buckingham Palace. You plan on living there, you're gonna have to marry the Queen.
Yul, that's where the Queen of England lives.
Face it, Yul Brynner. You can start calling yourself Madonna, but you're still gonna end up in an outhouse shanty like every other dock working nobody.
So for this top five, with the Winter Olympics going on, and everyone starting to once again remember that Cool Runnings existed, which, guys, I really hope we forgot it completely ever, I wanted to bring up the top five worst Jamaican characters in film, or as I like to call it, the stop talking about Cool Runnings because of Sochi top five. Damien.
I will not participate in
you
this.
You will not participate. Why won't you participate in this list?
Because it is racist.
You do know Jamaica isn't a race, right?
What? Maybe I'm racist. Am I racist, Douglas?
I have no comment.
Okay. Douglas said no, so can't be racist. Douglas said so.
Okay.
No, it's a dumb top five. I don't want it. I actively don't watch movies with Jamaican in them. But if I'm forced to do it, you guys won't like my answers. One of them is Shibado. So get ready.
No, I'm not talking about Jamaican films. I'm talking about just movies that have to have a Jamaican.
Right, and all of the Jamaican movies have Jamaicans in them. Like Beanie Man. And
so
Shabba was in a movie.
We are the worst
Jamaicans in movies. We here. Mm-hmm.
I'd like for you to go and watch. It's probably on YouTube. Go and watch. What's this movie called? It's called... It's the Rasta movie.
Countryman.
Didn't you guys try this already? And I said to your face, nope. You guys tried this already.
Black exploitation for Rasta.
Yeah. I'd rather be shot.
Anyways, Douglas, you've done a top five.
Yes, I have.
Yeah, I can't wait for this.
I have done a top five. So why don't you start, Douglas? Because I'm not doing any audibles.
All right.
I know why.
So, my number five.
Keanu Reeves, The Matrix. Wait, what?
Oh, snap.
Those twins in The Matrix.
Ah, yes.
They had dreads that counts.
Right. Yeah, man. My number five is actually... Oh, wow. My number five is Xavier Quinn from The Mighty Quinn, also known as Denzel Washington.
Denzel Washington.
My goodness. Yes, that accent is atrocious. And that movie is equally horrendous.
Is it a movie though? Is it really?
There are 1.5 of people on the screen, so does that count?
Yeah, but we used to record this podcast in video form. Is that a movie? That's essentially what they did. Just point to that camera and say, "Hey Denzel, be as racist as you can." Good. It's 1.5, that's a wrap. What happened? No one cares.
So my number five goes to Tia Dalma from the Pirates of the Caribbean movies. You remember that voodoo person who said she was from Jamaica?
I don't remember her saying that.
And we don't understand how Haitian religions get into Jamaica that quickly.
Who's that, sorry? What?
Tia Dalma from the Pirates of the Caribbean movies.
Oh, wow.
It's something that I notice when it comes to movies and Jamaican, which is that American cinema, they can't quite tell the difference between Jamaicans and Haitians, and they don't care. Like, even this last season of Boardwalk Empire had Dr. Caligari, what was his name?
Jeffrey Wright,
playing, and he said it, a Trinidadian, but he couldn't get out of sounding Jamaica/Haitian all the while. I guess I lived in Trinidad for 2 years. I never heard anyone talk like that. So, yeah, that's kind of weird. But Tia Dalma...
Maybe you're too picky.
Maybe I was too picky. Tia Dalma is kind of crazy. And everyone hated her in the last movie.
She turned into like a giant crab thing.
Yeah, she did. Remember that?
Those movies, they went from being okay to shit. Like, it was just like a day-night thing. It was like, oh, this is watchable. This should have been terrible. And somehow Disney found a way to, and then the next couple were just on fire.
So does that mean you're looking forward to Tomorrowland?
What?
Thank you. Douglas?
Okay, well, my number four is one, Dereese Bannock. Or as my phone likes to autocorrect it, Device Bannockburn.
Of course. Where is this from?
So Dereese Bannock, he is a historical figure. He is the first Jamaican bobsled driver to go to the Winter Olympics. And that was artfully...
I hate you all.
And...
All of you.
respectfully portrayed by somebody by the name of Leon in the Disney classic Cool Runnings.
Can we stop doing
this? Did I say let's not talk about Cool Runnings? Anyways, my number four is going to go to the character of Percy, played by, you know, the greatest of actors that we know as Method Man.
Yes.
The Whackness.
Darth
Whackness. Oh, I remember liking this movie.
Yeah, you do.
Until Method Man showed up.
And
decided...
And made it better.
I have to be the most Jamaican, Brooklyn, whatever, drug dealer. Oh my god, why did Method Man have to pretend to be Jamaican? This movie.
Yeah.
I still remember
But to be
it.
Fair, he was awesome in... Actually, I have a feeling you guys don't like this movie.
In The Wire.
No.
He was awesome in The Wire.
Yeah, he was, because everybody was awesome in The
Method
Wire.
Man and Red Red
right.
Show.
No, in Zach Braff's movie.
Yeah, Garden State.
Garden State.
Who see to this? Put up your hand.
Because he was playing a joke on himself.
Oh, that was hilarious.
And we're fine with that.
Yes.
But playing Jamaican drug dealers.
Mm-mm.
No.
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 So guess what?
Beg your dollar. I watch Belly. Such a terrific movie.
It was.
I barely remember that movie.
Oh, it's because it is actively on. It is so bad.
So guess what, guys?
That movie's racist.
All I remember was only black people in it. That's
yeah.
All I remember from the movie.
Wow. There's only black people in that movie.
I barely remember
and it
that
is
movie.
Racist against black people. That's how bad it is.
Oh, Nas.
Do you know that, what was Jay-Z's label?
Oh, Rockefeller.
Right, they used to put out movies.
Yes.
With rap stars in them.
Yes.
I saw one of them.
Yes.
And decided I didn't like movies anymore.
Right. So guess what, guys?
Mm-hmm.
Cool Runnings is a classic. It has so many gems.
A classic what?
Oh, that's for you to decide for yourself, son. And I think the biggest gem of them all, forget Leon, who, you know, pretends to run and
I'm
who's
just
the baddest?
Yes. I'm just going to try and derail this entire section.
Yeah. See you guys.
But, you know, if you are able to propel yourself through nothing more than your own skill and your own determination to go from a push cart driver to the brakeman in an international bobsled team.
Is he still talking?
Why not?
Oh, yeah.
Why wouldn't you be proud,
it's not big
honored even, to be played by one Doggy Dog? And now,
didn't he play a Jamaican?
He did, he did. I was about to say on a side note, he has played a Jamaican.
It was equally as racist. I take exception to this list. As a Jamaican. Proud-ish Jamaican. I don't like this list.
Oh my goodness. But yes, Doggy Dog takes the number 3 spot.
So my number 3 goes to a film which, if you guys didn't know, I went to the Toronto International Film Festival.
There we go.
It's a film that I saw.
I think we need to have like an asshole jar.
Yeah.
Or a
yeah,
tip
guys,
jar that
yeah,
puts in money every time
money.
We say it.
I saw this film.
I took a plane.
I saw this film that is entitled John Dies at the End.
Mm.
And if you guys didn't know, this movie is goddamn horrendous.
Does he die at the end?
You have to watch the final.
I know.
But there is this one scene with a Jamaican who is gifted.
Of course.
Gifted with the abilities
mm-hmm.
to tell you all things you are dreaming and the meaning of those dreams. And can you guess what they decided to name this character?
Dreamcatcher.
Robert Marley.
Oh, wow. Okay.
All right.
Fuck you, John dies at the end.
Wow. Interesting.
Someone thought that was funny for like a second and it stayed in the script. It wasn't.
Okay, so you guys thought that my list was ridiculous before. No, it wasn't. This is where things start getting a bit odd. So, who here has watched The Fifth Element starring Bruce Willis, Ian Holm?
Never heard of it.
No, never heard
Multipass.
Of it. Multipass. Okay. Lilo Dallas Multipass. So,
is that like the get into porn websites? I don't know.
Exactly. Now, speaking of, Lilo Dallas has a Multipass.
Mm-hmm.
And her Multipass put her on a plane. And that plane went to Flustin Paradise.
Mm-hmm.
And in order for the plane,
of course.
So, so
guys, he hired them.
Yes.
Douglas hired Flustin Paradise.
He's showing us how planes fly.
actually, to be honest, I think he really needs to do it for Damon's benefit. Damon doesn't know how planes fly.
Right,
are.
That's true.
Right,
that's true.
Because I'm not a fancy man. I didn't go to TIFF. Apparently, it's the only place that planes fly to.
Yeah, Yeah, pretty much.
For these two sons of bitches. Why do I do this podcast again?
So hold on. I have a story to tell, right? So the plane went to Flustin Paradise. Mm-hmm. And
all right.
And in order to get there, right? In order to even get off its gear, it must be fueled. There must be some sort of gasoline or fossil fuel or whatever inside of this plane. And guess what? That's a dirty job. Mm-hmm. So who better to do it than a Jamaican?
So Douglas, where is it there, mate? Where is it there?
I hate this podcast.
Where did they go?
They went to Flustin Paradise. They went to Flustin Paradise.
What did you not see that time? Can I leave now? Guys, can I go? Do I have to do this?
Anyway, refueling super space aircraft.
Mm-hmm.
Or, sorry, spacecraft. Is a dirty job, and therefore dirty Jamaicans should be doing it. Dirty Jamaicans with dreadlocks and smoking weed and talking about, what is it? This is the real heat, man! Or some shit like that. That is my number two Jamaican character. I call him the refueling Rasta, and he keeps calling for more heat!
You're a bad person.
So Douglas, I mean, you and I had the same idea.
Okay.
Because I'm going very much in that vein for my number two.
Awesome.
So if you've seen the classic film...
Wait, for your number two?
My number...
Didn't you start?
No, you did.
I did? Okay, cool.
My number two, for... If you've seen the classic film, that is Michael Bay's Bad Boys 2. There is a scene... in which one Martin Lawrence and one Will Smith have a gun battle with some drug dealers. Once again, Jamaicans have to be drug dealers in movies.
In fairness.
I just learned that, right?
Yeah. It's a stereotype, but that is our fault. That is not an accident.
And once, for you know, Will Smith action movies... they have to be throwing one-liners at each other throughout this right. gun battle.
Have to keep it
without funny. Actually hitting each other with bullets.
Well, they're hitting each other with one-liner bullets.
Yeah, with one-liner bullets.
Nope, that's all. Outside.
And there is a there. This character decides at this point once Will Smith tells him that he's the devil, to respond saying. The devil is not welcome here. Like a billionaire. That is my number two. The devil is not welcome here in Bad Boys 2. That is my number two worst Jamaican character in movies.
Oh my goodness. I'm sorry. I have to compose myself for my number
I'm
one.
Now so glad that I... I'm so upset that I didn't get in on this. Seems like fun.
Oh my goodness. Okay, so... this comes from a place
of love.
There's something that you have to understand about me. There was a time when I watched too much BET. I stretched the category film quite a bit for this number one. And as I said before, I watched way too much BET at one point.
Bet,
yes. Now... for those of us who watch BET at the time.
No, he didn't. No, he didn't.
For those of us who watch BET at the time.
Mm-hmm.
You will know that there was a certain staple at every commercial break. And for a very long time, until warrants were issued and people got arrested.
Mm-hmm.
Thankfully, there was a personality by the name of Miss Cleo.
Trelawney's own.
And who had the signature line of, Call me now!
Par, you're free.
I got free tarot card reading.
She was from Trelawney.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. And that, because they had to film the commercial, is my number one top worst Jamaican character.
Okay, Google. Where is Trelawney?
Has Google found it?
Google has no idea what I'm talking about.
So my number one, I don't think I can top that, because my number one is actually something that's been spoken about, and that is Denzel Washington in The Mighty Quinn. Because, guys, as much as we like to make fun of bad accents, I think it's 1,000 times worse when they film the movie in Jamaica and cast Jamaicans for every other role. So you hear...
Well, no, to be fair, as much as Sheryl Lee Ralph wants to be called Jamaican, no. I don't count her as Jamaican.
The cast in E3, but everyone else was Jamaican in that movie.
Yeah.
And you could hear a normal Jamaican accent at that point, and then Denzel came in. Mm. Like, couldn't they have told Denzel, your character isn't Jamaican, he's an outsider, just talk normally.
Yeah.
Like, why did they do that to me, Douglas? What? Damon is on YouTube and I'm worried now.
No, don't worry.
No? Okay.
Are you searching for Trelawney still?
Nope.
Okay. But yeah, guys.
I'm searching for the best Jamaican in anything that has ever happened.
I forgot about that. It's the only part I miss about GTA 5.
Couldn't they just get little Jacob in GTA 5?
Forgot about that.
Little Jacob. The best Jamaican in it. He's actually better than most Jamaicans in Jamaican movies. Can we stop calling them Jamaican movies? Because they really aren't.
You can call them filth.
That's what I usually call them.
Yeah.
Anyways, that's about it. Douglas is still the winner of the pitch game.
Why? We're not doing pitch games anymore?
No, we're done.
What?
You're done.
What?
Douglas won it. It's over. We have to put it to bed for a while. We'll bring it back eventually. But we're cooling that one.
Okay. All right,
so since we're not pitching anything to anybody, have you guys heard of Rick and Morty?
Yes. We watch it all the time.
I told you
that
to
show
watch
is
it.
Awesome. Okay,
good. It's pretty good.
Dan Harmon got fired
and
decided to do something different
with
his life.
Yes. Finally, I gave it a watch. Dan Harmon did more in 6 episodes of this than he's ever done with Community.
Because he can be so weird in this.
Yeah.
He can go full weird.
It starts and it's just magic.
But anyways, that's the podcast.
So we're really ending this podcast with worst Jamaican...
Yes, that's all. That's all I'm doing there. Guys, stop putting Jamaican people in movies.
Yeah, please. Yeah, we know how we look like. No, just stop.
Like, I get that we're funny. I get that we're drug dealers. But can you just make them Ukrainian or something for a while?
No, you can have them in the movie. Just don't have them speak. You don't have to do this deal with these Jamaican drug dealers. And just have them say nothing. Just have them make mean faces. And play cartel in the background. That's it. The whole world will understand.
So as usual, you can hear the podcast over at gmarymedia.com, iTunes, or Stitcher. Douglas, he's on Twitter. He's DJ, I lost his name. Damien, he's Damien_White. And I'm at gmarymedia, constantly reminding that Sportsnet Central still refuses to give me a widescreen.
They did give you widescreen.
just change it to 16:9 mode, and it is widescreen.
The widest screen. As wide as you can get.
Thanks so much. To work it out. Can we just work it out? Scream and shout. Till we work it out. Life. I think I saw what happens next. Oh, if
was just a glimpse of you, not looking through the window or shallow sea. Could you see me? After all this time, it's like nothing else we used to know. After all the hangers on, we're done hanging on in the dead light of the afterglow.